Hi, Adam Lambert. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm loving this surprise. Normally, we get like a rep before we get the main star, so this is really cool. Adam Lambert.
I know. The problem is that every time we do that, then the connection, there's like a delay, and there's all this bullshit. So let me just call the number directly, and then it'll be a clearer.
So now, Adam, I'm just going to tell everyone that Adam Lambert called my mobile phone.
Amazing.
Hi, Adam. I'm Gabe. Thank you so much for joining us here at Joy.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. I'm, tickled that you just picked up the phone like, hi, it's Adam Lambert. That's the best thing that's happened to me ever.
Sometimes I'm a DIY kind of guy.
What, with home repairs as well? How are you with home repairs?
I can change a tire.
Oh, impressive.
Congratulations on the new EP, Velvet Side A. It's been 4 years since your last record. What the hell took you so long?
I really wanted to take my time to make sure that what I was creating was right, you know, and was an authentic thing. It took a little while to kind of the project to sort of take shape and to figure out what the sound, what the world was that it lived in. Mm-hmm. And then once I figured it out, it kind of started to accelerate and I gained momentum. And of course, I was touring with Queen on and off, and I had some business stuff I had to work out that kind of slowed me down a little bit. But here I am. It's out.
And it took you 3 years to produce it?
Almost four.
Oh,
almost
wow.
Four. I started the writing process about 4 years ago. And, you know, I think another thing, the reason why it took a little while is when I started, I was kind of in a weird base. I was sort of like kind of fried. I felt a little tapped out. I was sort of disillusioned by the music business, you know, the business side of it. And it took me a minute to kind of figure out, like, okay, I need to insulate my creativity and I need to make some changes in order to protect my artistry. And this project is 100% me. I executive produced it. I co-wrote all the songs. I feel a real sense of ownership on this, and it means a lot.
That's amazing. So we love your new single, Superpower, at Joy.
Thank you.
What is Superpower about?
I think it's daring to be exactly who you are and not really making any apologies for it. I know a lot of people in the world today feel disenfranchised or sort of bullied or left out or discriminated against. These are things that I've always been familiar with. You know, I grew up being a weird gay theater kid, and I wanted to write something that made people feel powerful and confident and you know, taking it lying down, you know?
What superpower would you have if you could have one?
If I were like a superhero, I would want to fly.
Amazing. That song, Superpower, when I listened to it, I was listening to it on the tram the other day and I just wanted to strut up and down the aisle of the tram. It's just such a great song. It's so powerful.
But it's very strutty. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good walking song. 100%.
Amazing. Oh,
in a sensible platform.
Yeah, I'm a lesbian. I don't do that. But anyway, I do sensible, just not the platform.
Just flats. Flats.
But all the songs on this album are
just a boot. A pointy boot.
Okay, up to a pointy boot. I'll do that. No snake skin or anything. I'll just go with a plain black pointy boot and strut. But all the songs on this album get you moving. Like, one of my favourites is Loverboy. It's got a really funky tune to it. I've read that this EP was influenced by the 70s and 80s. Have you got like an 80s secret shame song that you listen to? Mine would have to be Wham, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go as my secret shame.
I mean, anything George Michael is like is top of the list for me. I love him. A guilty 80s pleasure. I don't know. That's the thing. Everyone like talks about, oh, guilty pleasure. I don't feel any shame or guilt about anything really.
Amazing.
At this point. So I openly listen to, you know, weird songs all the time.
I feel like every song in the 80s is like a guilty pleasure, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. Mm. Yeah, kind of.
There's Michael Jackson, The Way You Make Me Feel. That's a guilty pleasure, but that's for other reasons. Anyway, moving on.
With working with Queen, did that sort of their sound influence this new record for you? Because it's obviously like a real sort of 70s rock vibe with this album.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, I didn't set out to do it right away, but I realized as the project started to take shape, I realized, oh, this is kind of cool because maybe somebody that's come and seen us together, Queen and I, on tour, maybe on this album there's something that they would really like. You know, I definitely think it's a little closer to the Queen sound than maybe my past record, you know?
Do you think that you've introduced a lot of the younger generation to Queen that might not have been aware before they saw that you were on the lineup?
Maybe some, yeah. I mean, I think that the film this past year has actually done a lot. I mean, I noticed we were on tour around the U.S. this summer, and, you know, we have been doing just fine. We have been selling tickets for, you know, the last 8 years, but the demand has gone way up. And in the audience, there's all ages. I saw a lot more young people this tour than I've ever have in the U.S.
That's really amazing, because I was going to ask you about that, if, like, you know, you'd seen, like, a change in the audience, which you obviously have boosted by the movie. Do lots of Adam Lambert fans come to the show as well, to Queen shows?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I see a lot of the diehards down in the front with their merchandise on, and I see a lot of familiar faces, which is always makes me really happy.
That's amazing. So they obviously, Queen, two of the band members, did American Idol with you all those years ago, which is what started the relationship. Do you remember the day when you got the call to say, do you want to go on tour with Queen? And if so, how did you go about it? Did you act really cool? And then were you just, like, dying on the inside?
I immediately knee-jerk said, yes, of course, yes, you know. And then I hung up the phone and I thought, oh, God, can I pull this off? I wasn't totally sure. Yeah. It was definitely a huge deal to me. It was a big moment. And, I had a lot that was flooding through my mind. I thought, you know, can I sing all those songs? Will the band be into it? Will the fans be into it? I didn't know.
Look, obviously you've had a heap of big moments throughout your career. You're on the cover of Rolling Stone. You're just like the bad boy with a pure heart. You sung at the Oscars. You made Cher cry. Not many artists can say they made Cher cry. So this was at your tribute to Cher.
That was an amazing night. That was an amazing night. I was so honored to do that. You know, I always, like, associate Cher with being a teenager. I remember when that album came out, the Believe album, and listening to it in my car. My first car, like, right when I got my license. So that was, like, a big deal. That was, like, a big honor to perform for her.
What was your first car?
It was a Volvo station wagon.
Nice.
Terribly, terribly uncool.
Yeah.
In Australia, we have a term called a rust bucket. I don't know if you know what that means, but it basically means, well, we also call it a bomb.
Guess, yeah.
So it means, like, a really old, run-down, cheap car.
So yeah.
I just wanted to ask, with Cher, were you more nervous performing in front of Cher than you were performing with one of the biggest rock bands in the world? Because that performance, first of all, it's so beautiful. Mm. I wish, and I'm sure you get this all the time, I actually wish you could release that version, because it's so beautiful. Cher's crying. It's an amazing moment. But I see you in that performance as well, and I think you're looking at her quite a lot. Were you really nervous doing that?
I was really nervous because, you know, just the weight of the moment, and it's a very highbrow crowd, and I was also extremely jet-lagged. So when the adrenaline hit me, I was like, whoa, hey.
Yeah. After all that's said and done, you're gonna be the lonely one. Oh, do you believe in life after love? I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong. If you're in some kind of parallel universe and you could do a tribute song to Freddie Mercury, what song would you choose?
Well, I always think that Who Wants to Live Forever is sort of my tribute to Freddie moment. You know, it's kind of, you know, addressing the fact that he was taken away too soon, you know, and that, you know, who wants to live forever, but he does live forever. It's kind of a complex message, but that's what I love about it.
Mm. Yeah, amazing. So you just did the Global Citizens concert in Central Park in New York the other day, right?
Yeah, just last night.
How was that?
It was amazing. We had a great time and the audience loved it. And it's such a good cause, you know. Obviously the Global Citizens point is to eradicate world poverty, and they focus on a bunch of different ways in which to do that. that. And we, Queen and myself, we focused on plastics in the ocean and urging fans that wanted to come to this concert, they have to fulfill tasks in order to earn a ticket. So what's great about that is it gets a lot of, it's a very educational process. It gets people invested and involved.
And you do a lot of work for LGBT charities. As an LGBT artist quite heavily in the spotlight, what do you feel most passionate about promoting?
You know, I'm going to start my own foundation very soon. A queer foundation. I don't have all the details to present to you at this moment. I have to get that all dialed in, but I'm very excited because I've worked with a lot of different groups, and now it's time to sort of develop my own, you know, fundraising vehicle. You know, I'm really excited about it.
Thank you so much.
You're an absolute legend. Good luck
Thank
with the
guys.
Rest of the everything.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.